Well, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. Hey, I'm Riley Blanton, founder of StarWarsReport.com and host of the podcast. Super excited about this episode, guys. I want to record a quick intro for it. We recorded this a little over a week ago as I'm getting ready to post this, this upcoming week. And, it's our interview with Dr. Andrea Letamendi. She has her PhD rather in clinical psychology. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's legit. It's officially legit. She's a huge Star Wars fan and Batman fan. She talks about all kinds of interesting subjects and fandoms from the perspective of someone who's as qualified as she is in the area of psychology. So we have so much to talk about. But before I jump into the main part of the episode where we'll do all the proper introductions, I wanted to let you guys know that, we'll be at Dragon Con. Now, normally we're wanting to, you know, kind of hype up the convention and let you guys know about all the panels and stuff. But we've just been pretty swamped for school starting back, ROTC starting back. So we haven't really had a chance to record live. We've had some of these pre-taped interviews. We had Jimmy Mack on last week. If you haven't heard that, definitely check out that episode. And we've got a few more episodes coming out like that. But I digress. As I get ready to record this and get it ready for this weekend's posting for this week's podcast, I'm looking at the date. It's the 21st. It's exactly 1 week until we will be heading to Atlanta, Georgia for Dragon Con. I couldn't be more excited. It's going to be myself and Bethany as usual, but we will also be joined by Aaron Goins and, of course, Teresa Delgado of Star Wars Bookworms here on the Star Wars Report Network, and also writers for StarWarsReport.com and, of course, so many other amazing projects that they do. Good friends of ours. We're going to have a great time. We're going to be posting panel recaps. We're going to be live tweeting panels from Dragon Con. And I just wanted to give you guys a quick heads up as to where we will be. So I have to look at, our schedule. That's right. I'm pulling up the old Dragon Con app. And by the way, on a quick note, if you guys, any of these panels, feel free to come up and say hello. I know we've had a number of listeners come up in the past. So by all means, don't be shy. We'd love to meet you guys in person at Dragon Con. But here we go. Here's the app. Just a couple quick things. A Friday at 1 p.m., it's going to be Farewell to Clone Wars, Hello to Rebels. It's going to be myself, Bethany, Brian Young will be moderating from Big Shiny Robot, and a lot more. That evening, same day, Friday, we'll be at the Suits, Sinatra, and Star Wars party at 10 p.m. Quick note, for Saturday, we will be on the episode 7 panel. It was such a success last year, standing room only. They've actually given us a bigger room, which is amazing. So again, it'll be myself, Bethany, Brian Young, the folks over at Tashi Station, and several other amazing Star Wars fans on the episode 7 panel. And then let's jump to Sunday and make sure I'm not forgetting anything. We'll be at, but not hosting, of course, the hour with Sam Witwer, and that's at 11:30 on Sunday. And that Sunday. In addition, it won't be Bethany and myself, but, Aaron and Teresa will be on the EU Legends Author Edition panel, where there'll be quite a collection, including, Kevin J. Anderson and many other Star Wars authors on, the panel at the Star Wars Room at 3:30. So those are the panels. That's what you need to know. Of course, Farewell to Clone Wars, Hello Rebels, episode 7 will be at the, episode 7. This is where I have to look, make sure I don't get anything wrong. Yeah, episode 7, then finally on Sunday, the hour with Sam Witwer and the EU Legends panel. Again, check your programming, check your local listings, and that is what you guys need to do. It'll be a lot of coverage from Star Wars Report. It's going to be pretty amazing. So stay tuned, and we will talk to you guys from Dragon Con. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. So glad you've decided to join us. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. I'm your host for this evening, Riley Blanton. So glad that you've joined us once again. Welcome to that Bothan Spy network that is the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm so glad you've joined us. Joining me as she so often has over the past 140 plus episodes, can you believe it? It's my sister Bethany Blaine.
Thank you for the introduction.
Sure
thing. I'm excited about this particular episode.
Oh, am I excited? I'm a, yes. a huge fan of our guest. She is I'm confused as to where to even begin. I'm so excited. There's so much to talk about as far as the psychology of Star Wars, because, well, we're talking to a bona fide doctor, Dr. Andrea Letamendi, and welcome to the Star Wars Report.
Hello there. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for having us. And you were so kind. You let us know. So can I call you Drea?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome, awesome. I'll tell you what. I'm a huge fan of your work. You do the psychology of Star Wars and Star Trek panels at San Diego. I'd heard of you from that, and then I heard you a while ago on the Full of Sith podcast, and I followed you on Twitter for some time. So it is such a pleasure to talk to you. But for Star Wars Report listeners, if you're not familiar with Dr. Letamendi's work, I want you to know, like, I feel small right now because you are so well known for your coverage and events at San Diego Comic Con, but you've also appeared at New York Comic Con, WonderCon. You've been on headline news for CNN. You've been on you've been interviewed by the Huffington Post, BBC. You are remarkable, and I'm aww, so glad that you've decided to grace us with your presence for this episode of the Star Wars Report.
Oh, well, thank you. As you know, I love Star Wars, so anytime I can talk about anything related to Star Wars, I'm just super enthusiastic and excited about it. So it is really just a pleasure to chat with you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to, we've got a bunch of questions to ask you and a bunch of things to talk about. But before we jump into the meat of the episode, I want our listeners to get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your story as a doctor. Now, what is your field of study, first of all? Cause that's pretty
sure.
Cool.
Yeah, so I actually I have a PhD in clinical psychology, and so what that means is that I went to school for many years, and I studied abnormal psychology. So clinical psychology really means that a person with that degree is both a practitioner and a scientist. So I have experience practicing, treating patients, expertise in certain interventions for certain disorders. And really the clinical in front of clinical psychology means that area of expertise is around mental health disorders and the treatments of mental health disorders. So I was just super excited to, after studying and getting my degree, to then start to basically speak on the subject of mental health and fictional characters. And so I started with, of course, the psychology of Star Wars and with a colleague and a great friend of mine, Dr. Ali Mattu, who is also a clinical psychologist. We have essentially created this discussion or debate, if you will, where we have a Star Wars psychologist and a Star Trek psychologist kind of battle it out in like a panel form. And we've been doing that for the past couple of years. So any chance I get, I try to bring psychology or lift psychology out of the things that we love so much, like Star Trek and Star Wars and Batman and other comic book characters, and just try to utilize that space as a way to talk about very real psychological science.
Wow. And I'll tell you what, like, two things have really risen to prominence in our culture in recent years. And one is the era of fandom, the legitimacy, so to speak, of the geek, where, the phrase geek is chic, where you've had the rise of popularity of people like Chris Hardwick and Felicia Day, who've really championed the idea of geek culture, especially as women have become more and more involved. And these conventions, like, you have a good example of Salt Lake Comic Con opened up recently, and you've had some of these Midwest conventions popping up where science fiction, fantasy, and superheroes are really coming into their own. But also on the rise is the discussion of mental health. And I love how you've kind of fused the two, and I'd love to kind of hear how that began and what was the genesis of that idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, back before I can even remember, I've loved comic books and science fiction and fantasy, and, you know, just grew up watching Star Wars and Alien and Close Encounters, and, you know, started to, as you probably know, I'm absolutely obsessed with Batman, the animated series, which in the early 90s got me into reading Batman comics and being introduced to the DC comics universe. And so that has always been there. But I think when I went into school and started to become really fully invested in this career, you know, I started to realize that there are just so many, examples and, you know, real rich narratives in the stories that we love, like Luke Skywalker's story, his journey into understanding himself, his, you know, just seeking out who he is and looking for just what we call self-actualization. So you're reaching your full potential, you know, just alone, his story is just full of rich psychological themes.
Did I hear a subtle, Maslow's hierarchy of needs reference?
Yes. Hey. Yes. That's exactly where that originates. The idea that, you know, that the very, you know, what's been considered theoretically the most, the top of the hierarchy, if you will, the ultimate level of fulfillment really is it's called self-actualization, which, as I said, is really reaching your full potential. And it's a lifelong journey. I mean, we see it kind of pretty much happen in the first three films, maybe, but you know, it's finding that, you know, we're so passionate about these stories, and then I realized, well, there's so much to learn from this, and all I'm doing is really lifting out the psychology of it, and then just using the labels that I know, you know, like things like post-traumatic stress disorder, or you know, trauma, or self-actualization. I mean, these are all things that kind of exist in my world as a psychologist, but these are all things that everyone already knows and deserves to know more about. So it's kind of exactly what you talked about in terms of, you know, raising awareness about mental health, trying to have discussions and openness about things, you know, like treatments and interventions and strategies to get better, and just being able to talk about something that, most of us, I mean, if we don't struggle with something, we know someone directly who struggles with some kind of mental health issue. So it's just really been, almost a natural kind of, direction for me to go in, really.
It's so fascinating to me. And by the way, I just made my freshman psychology teacher very happy that I referenced Maslow's hierarchy of needs. because I'm, you know, I'm currently a college student. I'm an Air Force ROTC, and it's funny because I can't, as a huge, it's strange to live in a world where the idea of the group of cadets who are in ROTC preparing to be officers in the Air Force, it can't get much more non-nerdy sounding than that. However, mm-hmm. last semester, you know, each flight, training flight, gets a nickname. And so if you're Alpha, you're the Alpha, I'm trying to think of a normal one would be, like the Alpha, like Alpha you'll be the, or something like that. Or the, you know, Alpha A-10 Warthogs, or, you know, something like that. But in this case, I was an Alpha flight and we were the Alpha Akbars. And our flight chant was, "It's a trap." And it's just, it's crazy to live in this world where something as kind of non-nerdy as pursuing a military career is now, those things can seem to integrate more.
Yes. And I am in ROTC as well. And interestingly enough, I was in Bravo Flight, which was the Bravo Battle Droids, of course. And that was not of my influence either.
Which is the thing. It's like, we're the podcast people, but it's funny how all the cadets are of that age where they're Star Wars fans. It's hilarious.
Indeed. Yeah.
And of course.
Yeah. And one of the first, in my first, few years in my career and for a large part of my training, I worked with, military families. And specifically, I worked with veterans who've returned from Iraq and Afghanistan, who, you know, are seeking treatment and are suffering from some kind of psychological or physical injury. And something, now I was what we call a, I guess sometimes we say that we're, civilians kind of on tour, on duty, in the sense that we enter the world of the military, especially when you're on a military base or when you're at a veterans hospital, for instance. And I learned quite a bit about the services, and it actually led me to better understand, you know, all of the work that veterans and soldiers experience. And one of the first things that I did at a comic convention was talk about sort of that alignment between the superhero's, you know, career, the superhero's job, to experience all that they do, and then kind of they put on the cowl and the cape and they keep doing their job. That resiliency, that level of you know, dedication and resiliency, and compare that to the work that I was doing with soldiers and veterans. And that connection was probably really the first time that I was really able to talk about very, very serious, you know, psychological topics, but in a way, you know, I was talking about superheroes. So in a way that was a kind of a bringing a safe space, narratives that people understood and loved, and in a way that was educational, but, you know, not too threatening as far as the content goes.
It's such an important issue, and it's such a great way to frame it. I love the fact that we get to have this conversation, because that's one of the things I found so attractive about Air Force. Specifically, what I love to do is combat rescue, or CROWS. Basically, it's a pararescue on the officer side of things. And, you know, if things go according to plan, and I can, you know, compete for that field training slot next summer and get through basic and all that good stuff, I think that'd be such a cool career. And it's kind of the inner 7-year-old in me that saw, you know, Luke Skywalker and has seen these superhero movies, and especially, well, frankly, even the 22-year-old me who saw you know, the Falcon, who was an actual pararescueman in Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
like that's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. And I really liked what you said about being able to bring about a connection that there is, because, I mean, if you haven't studied it or you haven't been through it yourself, I think it would be pretty difficult to really be able to connect or empathize with an idea like PTSD or other struggles that many people go through. And that is all that it is. For some people, it's a concept and an idea that they may not have a personal connection to, and you have not only made a way to connect to that, but have made a pretty safe way to connect with that. It's not like it's not real, but you're discussing it from a medium that makes it a little safer to talk about, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly what, you know, if I were to say, you know, I have a mission, that's kind of what the mission's about. I'm by no means, you know, am I actually creating anything that other folks haven't yet, you know, worked in or done. I'm just kind of bringing the information in a way that I hope, like you were saying, people find to be, you know, a welcoming space, in a way that they can learn something. And hopefully it encourages people to ask more questions, to ask for help, to, you know, to help each other, to realize that, you know, that there's so many other people out there who are just like them. So it's been very fulfilling and it's been very enjoyable, but I kind of see it as, you know, this just makes sense. This is just what, you know, what I should be doing.
Yeah, and frankly, it really excites me to have somebody like you who can speak to people in that way. Having known a number of military personnel myself, or even just, I would say, on the civilian side of things, people seem to not realize just how many struggle with any of these issues, whether it's being bullied as a child in school, or whether it is PTSD or something like that, and or even with tragically, you know, Robin Williams just passed away from suicide, and you know that was definitely a huge tragedy. But people don't really understand that that's unfortunately very common.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, we're talking just what a day after we got the news, and it's still so shocking and so devastating and surprising. You know, people are just sort of just, you know, they can't comprehend why this happened. And so many people are asking questions. And then, you know, I agree with you. This is just an opportunity for us to start seeking answers and coming, you know, asking each other, what can we do to help each other? What resources are available? How can people reach out? And what is, you know, basically what should be done? Because there are, I mean, there are numerous practitioners and experts in this area, a lot of research that goes into this. But unfortunately, a lot of times what happens is that that information kind of just gets siloed and it doesn't get distributed or disseminated to our communities. And so we have, very sadly, in a sad way, we have an opportunity now where that space, you know, we have this open, especially in social media, we just have this now, this open dialogue to be able to talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, not just through social media, but the way that you do connect popular culture and really and storytelling in general, and how that and how we can connect that and take inspiration from it in very real everyday examples. And I would be remiss as a huge longtime fan of Star Wars who's seen these films so many times. I'd love to hear from your perspective, kind of from a psychological perspective. We see the journey of Luke Skywalker, and that hero's journey is so resonant with us. I kind of from your expertise and perspective, what do you think is it that connects with us so well about that hero's journey? Yes.
Yeah. That's something that we've thought about, and we've certainly have introduced in many of our panels around the psychology of Star Wars. And one of the questions that often comes up in some variation is why we're so drawn to this story. Because when you look at it, it's sort of simple, right? In a way, he's trying to understand himself. He's looking, he's going on this. I mean, it is quite the journey, but, you know, we wonder why the story resonates with us. And I think in large part, it has to do with that sense of exploring our identities as we grow up, as we become, you know, the people we are, in the careers we have, in the relationships we develop, as we mature. And we're asking the very same types of questions. You know, where do I come from? Am I just a product of, you know, my ancestors or my parents? What am I responsible for? Can I actually make change? And an important question is, do I have a set destiny, or do I make, you know, do I have self-determination and create my destiny? I mean, these are questions that are lifelong and that are so meaningful to so many of us. And I think there are additional themes that we also, you know, can relate to, like the friendships that are developed, some of the relationship struggles, even down to relationships with droids and, you know, what that represents. And it just some very, I think, some of these little lessons throughout the way as Luke is going through his journey. So I think it's more multi-layered than we realize.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if part of what resonates with us so much is that Luke seems to find the answers to those questions of what is his purpose, where does he come from, what is his destiny, and I wonder if that's part of what makes it so appealing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a full story there where it's fulfilling to us to learn. I mean, there's so much struggle and hard work and taking chances and believing in something and to know that all kind of pays off, you know? And of course you have this really important story between him and his father, which I think you have to really understand the full trilogy, you know, to get at that development. that rise and fall and the lesson learned from that.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, it's one of those things where and I'm sure you guys have covered that when you kind of do the psychology of Star Wars and Star Trek, which I have to ask about. This past San Diego Comic-Con, you were on stage with Sam Witwer talking about these very issues. What was that like?
He's great. This one was, we called it episode 4 because nice. we had presented at WonderCon twice already and at Comic-Con last year. So this is our fourth iteration of the panel in this series. And each time we run the panel, we have a different guest in the seat of, you know, the Star Trek side as well as the Star Wars side. And we've had just wonderful, amazing guests, writers, different, you know, voice actors. You guys know Brian Young.
Oh, yes.
He's one of my favorite guests that we've had, who just speaks so eloquently about not just Star Wars, the stories in Star Wars, but his own relationship with Star Wars. We've had Hugh Sturbekoff on. We've had Kat Tabor, who's a voice actress. And this time we had Sam Witwer, who most people know him, you know, as the voice of Darth Maul in the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. And he just brought so much energy and so much passion to the discussion. And he really, you know, we talked about, the video is up online, and you can look for that. I can give you guys the website if you'd like. But he really kind of transcended the idea, because the panel is called Star Wars versus Star Trek, right? So I think sometimes people can get caught up with the idea that it's this fight or debate. And we try to talk
enough
about
both sides. Well, they just haven't realized that Star Wars is better yet.
Sorry?
I just said they haven't realized that Star Wars is better yet. That's okay.
It's an ongoing debate. Now, I am always on the Star Wars side. So, you know, just saying. But he brought, he just brought so much enthusiasm, but he also, he moved past the versus, appeal. He moved past that and really brought attention to more universal themes and talked about why he, you know, his passion for both Star Trek and Star Wars and these ideas that are actually very present among both universes. And he's really able to bring about a very sophisticated, very compassionate, discussion that wasn't just about, like, you know, who would win in a fight, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Lightsaber matchup.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I read something that you wrote a while ago that was called The Dark Side, Why We Must Join. And this is primarily about the character of Darth Vader, of course. But one thing that really caught my eye in this post that spoke to me was when it states that Anakin experiences what it was like to have a father figure in the form of Qui-Gon Jinn, a mentor and an ally, but most importantly, someone who truly believes in him. And I was going to ask you about that. Just what is it about that that you think was so important to Anakin?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I know it's a very specific question, but I was very curious about it.
Well, I have a couple things to say. And the first is that post, that article I wrote, sometimes people ask me, because of course my expertise is in mental illness. So a lot of times I'm talking about mental health disorders, symptoms, episodes of mental health disorders. And a lot of times I'll pull characters and talk about them. And often the character is a villain. So sometimes people will approach me and say, aren't you worried that you're further stigmatizing persons with mental health illnesses, and what kind of messages are you really trying to say here? And I just wanted, if it wasn't clear in that article, I'm sure in some wordy way I tried to say this there, but I try to present the characters as fully formed people. You know, we only get so much in the written word, you know, in the narrative and in the films. And certainly as we explore characters, we work with what we have. And my hope is that by exploring some of the aspects, the mystery, you know, the negative emotions, the feelings of revenge, the things that characterize Darth Vader, but also, you know, make him the bad guy, that we have to explore that to understand how he got there. And I think that gets at what we want to ask when we're working with the people that, or at least when I'm working with the people I work with. We don't ask what's wrong with you. We ask what happened to you, because we believe, we have this inherent belief that people, by nature are, you know, can develop into a healthy person, and that exploration of, you know, the idea that certain things happened, traumas, loss, negative relationships, absence of mentors, absence of support, all these things can lead to some damage. So that's, you know, this is a character that I absolutely love. And I think, you know, if you look around, if you go to any store, Darth Vader is one of the most loved characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed.
Right? I mean,
yes.
You can't go to Target and not see, sorry, there's some product placement there, but you can't go to the store and not see you know, something related to Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is children, I don't know if you've noticed this, but children absolutely adore this character.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So Bethany, to get at your question, this was an attempt to sort of explain that there's a period of time during development, where it's a critical time where having an important parental figure, and gender is sort of irrelevant at this point, father figure, mother figure, some kind of parental figure or mentorship where someone believes in you, someone believes that you are of value, you know, someone believes that you have purpose, someone who believes that you're skillful. It's an incredibly important idea, you know, to be raised on. And if you're not raised on that, or if you lose that relationship, or if you lose that connection, you know, you start to not believe that you're of value. You start to go down the path of the dark side, you know, potentially, which is exactly what I was trying to get at. That's just one, you know, one aspect, not the decision, not the deciding factor, but just one aspect that may have led to further impairment for him.
I think that's very good, because I know that I've often heard the thought that your choices are your own, and, you know, you decide what to do with your life, how you will respond to things in your life, and, you know, you are the deciding factor of who you become. But that importance of having people around you who do believe in you, who are supportive of you, you know, they might not agree with everything you do or say, but they don't condemn you as a person. I think that that's very important,
so true,
because condemning someone as an individual, or thinking that they're stupid, or you know, they're not capable, or just any number of characterizing them as a whole person as being not valuable, really harms them.
Yeah.
Well, and it's so true, and I think that may have been, like, from a story perspective, one of Obi-Wan's greatest mistakes with a young Anakin Skywalker that he kind of felt was his personal mission to rectify when he trained Luke. It's a very, very different Obi-Wan. The Obi-Wan of before aforementioned Obi-Wan was the one who said, "Don't tell me we've picked up another pathetic life form." And
right.
You know, the one in A New Hope is now that's a name I've not heard in a long time. And it's a very different Obi-Wan, and I kind of I love that concept.
Those are great. Those are great voices. You do a good job.
Not nearly as good. We need Sam Witwer around here.
He's awesome. Do it up right. Yeah.
He'll be at DragonCon, actually. We're looking forward to maybe we'll get to run into him at some point and ask him about the very same thing. So he knows. Yeah. Funny side story. I mean, Sam, he was one of the first interviews we ever did, and it was at DragonCon years ago, when we first started. I mean, we weren't even official press or anything. We just met him there, and he's like, and we're like, don't suppose you'd do like a quick interview or something? And he was like, sure. And that was so nice of him. So he's such a cool guy. But I'll tell you what, you've topped him for sure. Drea, thank you so much. I mean, this has been such a great time, and we want to respect your time. I know you have places to be, but before you go, please plug away. Are there any online projects or anything that you'd like?
I know you do a podcast to the Arkham Sessions, I believe.
Yes. So our current project right now is called the Arkham Sessions. It's a podcast that explores the show Batman the Animated Series through a psychological perspective. So basically the gist is each episode, each podcast explores one episode of Batman the Animated Series. And like I always do, I lift out the psychological themes and we talk about that particular theme or number of themes that's present in the show. And it's really... It's the nerdiest thing you can think of if, in terms of the,
I love it though.
The approach, but I mean, really I always say like, if you have any interest in Batman, this show is definitely for you. But also if you want to learn something about psychology, that's really the goal. So with each we've talked about anything from things like memory loss, dreams, the neurobiology of head trauma, the neurobiology of PTSD. We've talked about serious topics like child abduction, divorce, childhood trauma, and some pretty cool stuff as well. In this last episode, we talked about the idea. Have you seen the movie Inception?
I have not. Bethany has.
We talk about that idea of being able to control what's in your dreams. And it happens to Batman in one episode called Perchance to Dream. And so we kind of explore, you know, so in this episode, Batman is, trying to get out of this dream. He realizes he's trapped in this dream. And so he takes action. He problem solves. He gets out of it. And we talk about what the evidence shows, what are, all the fields of neurobiology and psychology and how we can actually learn to control our dreams and to take action. And then interestingly, this episode also depicts a suicide. It just so happened that we covered this the same week that, of course, we have this, tragic story of Robin Williams. Oh, wow. And so we talk a little bit about that as well. And we post the suicide prevention hotline and we make sure with every one of our episodes that if we talk about something like that, that we share resources and that we just disseminate ways in which people can learn more about it. So not all shows are quite that serious. This one happened to be. But really it's just about exploring psychology and utilizing this really beloved series and just kind of having a good time with it and being able to kind of like geek out with other fans.
That's really cool.
I'll tell you what I'll never forget at Celebration 6, sitting up there in the balcony and hearing Mark Hamill going, "Today, the day the clown cried," and just being blown away by, like, that was such a miserable imitation of the great Mark Hamill. But it's so true. Yeah, and where can incredible. Folks go to find it once again?
Oh, yeah. So folks can, if you actually go to iTunes and look up Arkham Sessions, it comes up. Arkham is ARKHAM Sessions. That's actually, it's named after Arkham Asylum, which is a mental facility in Gotham City. And if folks just want to look up pretty much any one of my articles or any one of those podcast episodes, they can just go to underthemaskonline.com. All my stuff's up there. And they can chat with me on Twitter. I'm at Arkham Asylum Doc. And Arkham Sessions is also on Twitter at Arkham Sessions.
Yeah.
There we go.
And definitely for any of the listeners who go to San Diego Comic Con, and I know a lot of you guys do, we still need to make it out there.
Oh, we will.
But definitely check out the Psychology of Star Wars and Star Trek panel. And also, Drea, you were in 2 issues of Batgirl. So I definitely encourage our listeners to check that out too.
Absolutely.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that.
No, that's awesome. And I'll tell you what, I've had such a good time tonight. I'll tell you what, we'll just have to have you back on to talk specifically some Star Wars characters sometimes. How does that sound?
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
Awesome. All right.
That would be
well,
a lot
Drea,
of
thank
fun.
You so much once again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Wow. That was awesome. Drea was so kind, and that was such a great conversation. I know it was more of a serious turn. Why so serious? As I accidentally mute my mic. No, that was it was so much fun, and we'll definitely do it again. I'll tell you what, it's good times definitely had by all. But unfortunately, we're gonna have to wrap up this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. It is a true tragedy, my friends. Today, the day the clown cried. That's so good.
It was so good. I will just say, as a quick aside, for that Mark Hamill panel, I will say if there was anybody just kind of bored and tapping away at their little smartphones or their little iPads,
right at the end of the
they
day,
all stopped and just started staring at Mark Hamill.
Hear a pin drop.
He's fantastic.
Bethy, we just interviewed a bona fide doctor of clinical psychology. Check that off the bucket list. How's that? How about them apples?
Well, it was a lot of fun to have Drea on. She's great to talk to.
Absolutely.
And I would definitely love to talk to her again. And I think I have to start listening to her podcast.
Absolutely.
I had thought, well, you know, I haven't really seen the show, so why would I listen to the podcast? But the way she talked about it with how it explores psychology, psychological issues, that's quite interesting.
Absolutely.
I don't know what that says about me, but it's pretty interesting.
No. All of the best things, of course. Now, guys, if you want to stay in touch with us, email us at starwarsreport@gmail.com, Twitter/StarWarsReport, Facebook/StarWarsReport. You guys know the drill. I do want to really emphasize the iTunes subscription service method. I think that's the official tagline. Apple iTunes Podcasting, an official subscription service method. No, that's entirely too awkward. But no, if you go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, that takes you straight to our iTunes page, and you can leave us a rating or review and, of course, subscribe to the podcast. And also our FeedBurner feed and other ways to subscribe are all at StarWarsReport.com/about, which is also where you can find all of our other fine programming here at the Star Wars Report Network. It depends on when this episode is airing as I record this, but Dragon Con is coming right up. And Bethy and I are going to be on some panels. Stay tuned to our social media feeds for further details. And speaking of our social media feeds, I do want to let you guys know that Bethy and I are often tweeting and posting up pictures that go beyond just Star Wars. And you can follow us at our personal accounts on Twitter and Instagram. The handles are at the Riley Guy and at Bethany L. Blanton for both of those accounts. So you can find us there talking about our ongoing journey as Star Wars fans and Hobbit fans and ROTC cadets and college students and all that fun stuff. So join us. Join the conversation. Night Attack reference. Three people got it. All right. So that puts the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report. Thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate all of our fine listeners here at the Star Wars Report podcast. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Much death happened among their ranks. It's not.
I don't know if that came through or not.
Shenanigans behind the scenes, folks. I love that one little off note.
I know, it could never get it never gets old. You know what also never gets old? We had a podcast. I've always wanted to have the opportunity to have a podcast that was an outlet for some of the summer movies.
I know,
but
yes.
it'd just be like the Riley likes to talk about certain summer movies podcast, and there's
maybe it could just be summer movies podcast.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Or summer blockbusters.
There you go.
I can't talk. Summer blood.
Summer blabbusters. Blabbusters. No, that kind of doesn't work. That'd be cool. One of these days. Because we did that for Avengers. We'd just do a post show.
I've been watching that show, Extant, and it's gotten really good.
Oh.
This last episode. Like, it started a little rough.
We need an outlet for just, like, random geeky stuff that's non-Hobbit and non-Star Wars. All right, I'm going to stop talking over Redbone and come and get your love. This is the weirdest post show we've ever done. That wraps it up. We'll see you guys next week.